Welcome to the Reader podcast. My name is Frances and I work for the Reader. This is the third episode in which we'll visit the Reader's project to uncover the heritage of Calderstones, our home and headquarters in Liverpool. In our first heritage episode, we took an audio tour of Calderstones Mansion House, which was built in 1828 for a wealthy Liverpool manufacturer, and then was owned by Liverpool Council for a while, and the Reader took it over in 2013. But in this episode, we're going to hear stories of a very special and rather unexpected part of the Mansion House, the Garden Theatre.
Garden Theatre.
Well, to me, it was happiness and laughter and joy.
Used to think they were amazing, fancy being brave enough to stand up and sing in front of all these people. So, you know, happy memories, really.
But yeah, I just think from an architectural point of view, it's one of the best things about the house because it's so sort of striking and incongruous, but I just think it's quite beautiful in its own right.
Dedicated podcast listeners might recognise the voice of George Hawkins there, Head of Facilities and Capital Development at the Reader, who was remembering his first visit to Calderstones Mansion House in 2012. As George says, the Garden Theatre is a somewhat unexpected part of the building, but it is one of the features that make it particularly well suited to its current use as the Reader's home, and a key part of the Reader's mission to make Calderstones a welcoming, meaningful community space.
So we're here at the Garden Theatre at the Calderstones Mansion House, just getting ready for a production of Midsummer Night's Dream by Shakespeare, which will be performed by the Handelbards. And we're just going to talk to some of the audience about the Garden Theatre and what other productions they might have seen here and what it's like being in this space.
We are the Handelbards and welcome to our production of A Midsummer Night's Dream!
So have you been to a performance at the Garden Theatre before?
I haven't. This is the first time I've been here. I have been a member of the Reader. I've been round the grounds in the cafe and that, but I've never seen a performance here.
So have you seen a performance of Midsummer Night's Dream before? So this is the first time?
We saw one at Shakespeare North, but well, it was like inside, but I'm really like looking forward to this because it's like outside and nice. Yeah.
Just please don't let it rain.
Oh, please don't let it rain.
She's just written and directed a play.
Have you? How fantastic!
And I was a horsey.
So it was Cinderella, so it was an adaptation of Cinderella. She directed it, and now she's going to produce Matilda the Musical.
I'm so impressed.
And she's only 8.
Fantastic!
She's going to be 9 in 10 days.
Right, or maybe that explains it.
I go to outdoor plays all the time.
Right, okay.
So it's a nice experience for them, particularly as we've got this budding director here.
Do you know this play?
Do you know the story?
Yeah.
Do you? Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Which storyline are you looking forward to seeing? Which character?
Hermia.
Hermia? Really? Why?
Because she's too full of love.
She's too full of love. That's so right.
Answer as I call you. Nick Bottom the Weaver.
Yes, ready!
Name what part I am for and proceed.
You, Nick Bottom, are set down for Pyramus.
Do you know what? We've never been to, this is my partner, Yakit, we've never been to an open theatre, and I think it's just a new experience. With having COVID, it's just great to get back out and getting things. I mean, the last time we went to theatre, we went to see War Horse, and it's just an amazing opportunity to just come together, really. Friends, family, everybody to get together. So that's what we're excited about. So looking forward to it.
So have you seen A Midsummer Night's Dream before?
I have, yeah. Big fan of Shakespeare.
Really?
Yeah, really am. So.
What's your favourite play, do you think?
Macbeth. I know,
really?
Yeah. Yes. I know, it's, I think it's so intense and kind of, yeah. So I know some people say like Romeo and Juliet, but no. But I was saying to Yaki again that I think this is a good one because it's a comedy, so it's the fun element, so you're going to be having a bit of a laugh, so that's a nice thing as well.
How are you feeling about the space here, the outdoor space?
It's just
space.
The experience, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I think we live in Britain and this is it. You have to deal with the weather, go with the flow. That's it, really.
I used to work here when it was council.
Oh, right. Okay, so do you remember the theatre ever being used? No, in that interim
I worked here
time.
In the 90s.
Right, okay.
But we've been to a few of the Garden Theatres and today is fabulous.
Are you enjoying it? Fantastic. What are your memories
it's
of the
place? It's strange
from?
Going into the various rooms, like the cafe, which used to be one of the offices I worked in.
Right.
And we were never allowed in the garden. So to sit out there now with food and drink and go to the other rooms, like the reading rooms, it's so strange. Coming up to the theatre room, thinking years ago it was the reception and only the workers could go behind the reception board, you know. Oh, I love it.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
With a wild poem blow, where oxen.
Not of Shakespeare, of the orchestra you had on the stage last summer. But I used to come here as a child and watch the performances on the stage. Yeah. We used to sit in deck chairs, face the stage.
Right. So what do you remember any particular performances from those days?
Sort of dancing girls. Yes, that's all. Not a great deal.
Okay.
It was very exciting coming here as a child. Really good.
Oh, good. So how are you finding the performance today?
Brilliant. The actors are fantastic. Absolutely fabulous. They really are.
How about that? Have you heard anybody saying anything? Have you taken to their seats? Has it been a nice atmosphere?
It's been a lovely atmosphere. People have been really excited about it and saying it's just great to be out. Some people have come to lots of things like this before,
right.
And some haven't been to anything. There was a lad who was asking me who my favourite character was, and he's formed his favourite and things like that. It's great to have all ages getting excited about it, isn't it? That's great, isn't it, when people are excited about Shakespeare.
Did you see the little kid as well? He's like three, and he just rocked up on his bike, and he was just staring at it, so engrossed. So cute, yeah.
I've got to go now, but I'll see you later.
You heard there the voices of audience members and reader staff enjoying a production of A Midsummer Night's Dream, which was performed by the Handelbards at the Garden Theatre in July. The Reader has been using Shakespeare's plays as a tool to bring people together since our first ever shared reading group started over two decades ago in Birkenhead. Shakespeare's work gets to the heart of the human experience in a way that continues to have a powerful impact on many of our shared reading groups across the UK. As soon as possible after the Reader took ownership of Calderstones in 2013, we brought Shakespeare to the Garden Theatre, hosting the Globe Theatre's touring production of King Lear that same year. But in fact, even before the Reader moved in, Calderstone's Mansion House had hosted many outdoor productions of Shakespeare's plays, as well as variety shows, brass bands, singers, dancers, magicians, and more. So why is there an Art Deco outdoor theatre at the back of our 18th century Mansion House?
My name is Peter. I'm the heritage assistant here at the Mansion House in Calderstones Park. So you have to transport yourself back in time to the Second World War. People were wondering how they were going to spend their holidays at the seaside with all the troubles of war going on. So the government came up with an idea called the Holidays at Home scheme, which was basically a scheme that was introduced to keep people at home for their holidays, to prevent them from crowding the railway lines and to prevent them from going to the beaches and things, which were all barbed wired up and landmined up, and to basically allow them to experience their own home and what they could do on holiday in their own home. So Liverpool Council introduced the scheme on the government's behalf in Liverpool, and they decided to put on shows in the parks. They introduced variety acts. So you would have had singers, dancers, magicians, everybody who could do something on stage and wanted to have a go could have a go. And it was so popular during the war years that in 1947, after the war had ended, they decided to purpose build a theatre on the back of the Mansion House itself. It was met with a very, very good reception. It was popular from 1947 right the way up until, I would say, the 1970s, really, when it started to fall into decline. But many, many people nowadays do remember the Garden Theatre and it being in use and it drawing huge crowds of people. When you walk into the garden at the back of the Mansion House, you're met with a grand Art Deco style theatre. So it is a raised stage with steps leading up to it. These steps and things were originally only at the sides of the stage, but we've adapted it to now lead up to the front as well. But originally, under those new steps at the front of the stage, there would have been an orchestra pit. And it would have been in front of the orchestra pit on the lawn that the audience would have sat in their deck chairs and also their park benches as well to sit and watch a performance of whatever was on.
Oh, fantastic.
How about Shakespeare? I understand there was a fair bit of Shakespeare performed in the Garden Theatre over the years.
There was indeed. There was actually a massive celebration back in the 1960s. It pretty much was advertised from the February of 1964 that Liverpool was going to do an awful lot for the 400th anniversary of Shakespeare. And part and parcel of some of the festivities that were going on in the city was performances of different plays here at the Garden Theatre itself. We know for a fact that there was different theatre groups that performed Coriolanus and As You Like It. We also have performances of Midsummer Night's Dream, as well as many other different plays. Shakespeare has been very, very popular. You could practically name a play and you probably would have seen it here at the Garden Theatre.
As Peter mentioned, there are many local residents who came to Calderstones in the 1950s and 60s as children and young adults, and who remember the heyday of the Garden Theatre. With further support from the National Lottery Heritage Fund and a team of dedicated volunteers, the Reader has been recording those memories and reminiscences. This library of oral histories will ensure the survival of the intangible heritage of the theatre, and help us understand its part in the past and future of Calderstones.
To us, it was a day out, it was an afternoon out, and we'd bring a picnic and drinks and so on. We would come over, because I don't recall the cafes or anything. I don't recall that, but I do remember we come with your obligatory lemonade that you all shared.
Sounds
great. We go, I'll get off. Oh, I'll be going. Never mind COVID. All out of the same one. And your sandwiches and maybe crisps if you were lucky. That was a luxury. But you would come with a picnic and be there. Soon as I walked in last year, I remember this. I loved it. It was something for you to do. You weren't roaming the streets. Spent hours on the boat and lake, and it was lovely. Mm. It was really lovely. Not like that now. That's what that's my memories. But I've always loved this park. The Garden Theatre, well, to me it was happiness and laughter and joy.
In 2012 was the start of it all, really. I remember the way the Garden Theatre was then, internally, the way the theatre room was then. It'd been kind of decked out in this kind of 1970s style office accommodation. It was really ugly, really sort of functional in a sort of negative sense, I suppose. It was just a soulless box inside. The windows, I think by the time we got there, had been vandalised reasonably regularly at the back. So it just looked rough, it looked unloved. It's only really when you step outside and you could see that kind of cantilever roof sort of heading back into the main body of the building with that sort of like quite striking late Art Deco style it's got that you know is quite weird with against the rest of the building, but I quite like personally that you sort of see that, ah, wow, it's actually quite an impressive space, this. The design for the theatre as it is now as well, what fed into that was really the same logic that dictated what we did elsewhere in the building as well. The idea was to try and introduce lots of long straight sight lines using glass, because we were very conscious that the theatre, particularly the theatre garden, is it's there for the community, and we wanted it to feel welcoming. And the building in its architectural design isn't a welcoming building. It doesn't say you know come on in, you're welcome, this space is for you. It says crudely, I'm loaded, keep out unless I ask you to come in. So you know, working around that was quite an interesting process. But it's noticeable now that when you come up to the front door, you can look all the way through the building and see green and daylight all the way through. And the idea was to just as much as possible have that feel open and welcoming and kind of non-threatening and non-intimidating to people. But yeah, I just think from an architectural point of view, it's one of the best things about the house, because it's so sort of striking and incongruous, but I just think it's quite beautiful in its own right. Mm. The ambition was always to return the Garden Theatre to something like its original use, and we were always realistic about the fact that that original use would need to go alongside sort of commercial uses as well, but you know, a community commercial use in the sense that it's a venue for predominantly for family events, as well as whatever our brilliant art programme is that year and music, all the rest of it. So I think we always had that ambition really from the earliest stage of our kind of engagement with Calderstones. I will say as well, the garden, that we used the theatre room as part of the Bread and Roses project, which was part of the COVID response, where we, as well as providing sort of shared reading packs to the different groups who were isolated, we fed people during the COVID period. We used the Garden Theatre, so the theatre room itself, to effectively turn Calderstones into a soup factory for quite a few months, where the chefs would basically mass produce really good, nutritious, usually root veg soup in the kitchens, and we would cool this stuff en masse in the theatre room, package it up, and we would send it out to various community partners and individuals, actually people who needed it. It was in that really funny period when we were kind of, as a society, we were trying to deal with the immediate impact of COVID and what it meant for vulnerable people who couldn't get out, people who were vulnerable for whatever reason, people with health issues, people with, there was quite a few single mums who had children to feed, couldn't leave the house because of a requirement to lock down and didn't have any support network to feed themselves. And so we'd end up sometimes, you know, getting packaged up in the theatre room, popping in our cars and going and delivering a week's worth of soup to help keep people going. Most of that was delivered through partnerships, actually, which were brilliant. You know, some really good work done by local councillors on that, and lots of partner organisations across the city. Thanks for prompting me to think about that, actually, Peter, because it's really important. A little bit of the history of that space, actually, and as part of Liverpool civil society's response to what, you know, was a massive crisis, really. And yeah, the theatre room is a big part of that, where the soup was cooled.
It's a very clear memory. only very short, but it's something which I've always remembered, and in fact, if ever I walk past the Garden Theatre, even now, I always think of this particular incident or instance. Yeah, I can tell you about it. It was one of the summertime open air shows. I guess I would have been about 6 or 7 years old. I know I was with my mother. I think there might have been maybe my aunt and my cousin there as well. And we were sitting in one of the deck chairs in front of the stage on this show. And it was a magic show. And there was an entertainer on the stage, the sort of entertainer you'd often see maybe at a birthday party or something. And he was doing all the sort of classical birthday party magic tricks. He had a top hat, and he had all sorts of boxes with opening and shutting doors, and he had a magic wand that collapsed, and all the usual things. I think he had a ventriloquist dummy as well. The reason I remember this is because at some point in his show, he asked if somebody would like to come up on the stage and help him with one of his tricks. So I don't know whether I was keen to do it or whether I was pushed, I don't remember, but I went up onto the stage, and he welcomed me onto the stage, and he said, "You're going to help me with this trick." It was a trick that probably everybody remembers. It was the three rings. There were like three steel rings which he used to sort of juggle around with a little bit, and then he'd tap them together and they'd all join together, and then he'd ask somebody to blow on them and they'd all come apart again, or that sort of thing. And he said, he showed everybody this trick, and then he said, "Now would you like to have a go and see if you can do it?" So I said yes, and he handed me the rings, and there were the three separate rings, and I was trying to get them to join up together. So I was tapping them and banging them together, and as I was doing this, of course it wasn't working because I didn't really know how to do this at all, but I was getting more and more frustrated. I was getting more and more annoyed, and I could feel that the audience was sort of starting to laugh a little bit, and I was bashing them together, and then eventually I said, "I can't do this blooming thing," and of course that everybody just fell about laughing in the audience, I remember.
I remember coming here with half a dozen members of the team and our chair of trustees, and walking around the building and the site and just thinking, my goodness, what would this be like if you brought it to life? What, it's fantastic, what an amazing asset. So remember that feeling of excitement and no doubt and no sense of, oh my God, it's going to be really difficult. Although all that was true, and I guess I knew it, my main overwhelming feeling was, this will be fantastic. The globe set up little sets outside in the garden, and I remember there was, I think it was Romeo and Juliet, and there was like a little castle built just there, and nearly all of the action took place on it. I can just remember the feeling as it gradually going dark as the night went on, and beautiful light in the trees in the garden, and the moon coming up, and just very, very romantic of like sitting there, and of course the midges. Remember we had a summer fair in the back garden, and someone who was in one of our Wirral groups who had lived with anxiety and depression and forms of isolation took the tickets or took the entry money on the back gate and, you know, welcomed 400 people into our back garden. And I just felt, she's come all the way on public transport from the Wirral to speak to 400 people. She's a person who used to be unable to speak to anybody. That's Calderstone's doing its job. Remember her.
Mm.
My memories of Calderstones Park was, I'm sure I used to get pushed around here in a pram, but at a very early age, me and my brother Paul, he was sort of 2 years, well, he was less than 2 years older than me. We were brought here by my mum to watch our eldest brother, and wow, this is our, he's part of us, and he's on the stage doing his magic show. So we just sat there with everybody else just in amazement that he used to have a ventriloquist doll that he called Charlie Brown, and then we'd see him doing the various tricks. With the one we remember, and a lot of people seem to remember, is the one with the rings that kind of magically went together and then came apart. And I think you'd ask somebody up on stage and say, can you do it like I do it? And then that was a good watch and all that sort of thing. But yeah, we were delighted. Wow, this is our brother. So our brother, my brother's name, who we're talking about on the stage, his name was Bernard, B-E-R-N-A-R-D, Bernard Holding. In later years, he went by the name, he preferred the name Ben. Ben Holding is what he wanted to be known by in later years. The reason that I'm here today, and the reason that I'm in Calderstones, is because I attended a funeral here about 3 months ago of a surgeon, a Mr. William Boyle, who'd saved my life when I was 17. He went out on a limb to save my life. And I got a phone call out of the blue from a young man called Mr. Boyle, his son. And he'd found letters from his father that I had sent, saying thank you, basically. I'm only here with my family because of you. And he invited me to attend the funeral. We should have been going on holiday, but I felt it was more important to attend the funeral, which I did do. But then they came here after the funeral. And it was just a lovely event and really nice people. But it was only when I was sat outside in the garden having something to eat. And I always knew that my brother had been here. And it was only when I looked at the canopy, I thought, this is where it was. So sort of things come round. So the man who saved my life and then his funeral, which brought me back here. And I think I spoke to somebody on the day and said, I remember my brother performing here. And it's from that that's led me to be here with you today.
And we quite often would do that in the morning, have our picnic and then go to the theatre in the afternoon. Now, I can't remember loads about the theatre shows, but they were definitely still going on in the 60s and I think probably into the early 70s. You could hire a deck chair, which the mums did, and we always just sat on the rug then. And I remember being fascinated watching a lady with a performing dog, because I'd never seen anything like it before in my life. And it was probably a very simple thing, but I remember the dog walking upright on its hind legs and thinking it was amazing. And you would also get that it was the variety shows they did in the summer. You know, sometimes you get maybe a young girl standing up and singing, and I used to think they were amazing. Fancy being brave enough to stand up and sing in front of all these people. So, you know, happy memories, really.
After a Play by Elizabeth Jennings. The wind, in spasms, swept the street as we walked very quietly, till cold and silence seemed to meet and make one point, one star set free between two stormy clouds. We leant upon both wind and words we meant. A tense and joyful audience had thronged in the theatre we left. Lovers had laughed at being sad, and justice, mercy, were bereft of all abstractions. So were we, talking so low, yet passionately.
We've heard from lots of audience members in today's episode, both from those live in the Garden Theatre in the midst of watching a play, and those remembering plays and shows long past. What many of them seem to express is a lasting feeling of belonging and community that can arise from what might otherwise seem a fleeting, dreamlike experience. Being part of an audience can be about creating shared meaning, experiencing together something more vivid or tense and joyful, as the poem says, than ordinary life. Those times of being part of a throng, drawn together by laughter, surprise, or simply intense attention, clearly live long in memory and can even be transformational. The purpose of Calderstones and of the Garden Theatre is to be a place where more of those moments of meaning and connection can be made by anyone. That's it for this episode. If you want to know more about Calderstones and about the Heritage Project, you can visit our website, thereader.org.uk. That's also the place to go if you want to find out more or get involved in any aspect of the Reader's work. Once again, there were many people involved in putting together this episode. The recording, editing and production was done with typical care by Chris Lynn, and he, along with Frank Johnson, created the music for the podcast. Many thanks to the Handlebards and the audience of their performance of A Midsummer Night's Dream back in July 2023. We are so grateful to everyone who gave their time to come and share their memories of the Garden Theatre with Reader Heritage volunteers. And thanks too to those volunteers for their work collecting these oral histories. The poem After the Play by Elizabeth Jennings is included in her collected poems, which is published by Carcanet. This episode and the Garden Theatre project as a whole was made possible by the National Lottery Heritage Fund, who have funded the two-year Making Meaning project at Calderstones. Look out for future episodes related to this project, and thank you for listening right to the end. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate and review the podcast and subscribe to get future episodes as soon as they're released. Until next time then, goodbye.